Appreciate the goodness of the Lord today. Appreciate everyone that's here. And appreciate the mercy of God. If you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I want really to start reading. My text is in the 9th verse, I believe. 1 Corinthians 15, 10th verse, I believe. And I want to start reading at the first verse, though. If you haven't, we read down to verse 10. All right. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not me to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. First of all, Paul gives a description or history, you might say, that about Jesus was buried and he was resurrected and how he was seen. It was not just a tale that somebody told, but there were witnesses that saw that Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead. And these people knew him prior, the majority of them knew him prior, but the folks understood that he was delivered. He was delivered from death, and he was resurrected. And this is Paul giving a basic history and testimony here. And then he goes down, and he knows a little bit, we know a little bit about Paul's history, and we go down into the 9th verse. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle. And why? Because I persecuted the church of God." Then he goes on to say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul had some regrets for his past. What he did in the past, he realized that there were some things that I did that I should not have done, and I was ignorant. I persecuted the church. I destroyed some of the saints, and I did it out of ignorance. If I could go back and I could change all of that, then I would. But he realized that he couldn't. And there are some times that but it still had effect on him. It had effect on how he viewed himself. I am the least of the apostle, and this is why I'm the least of the apostle. I'm really not worthy to be in the place that how the Lord is using me. I'm not worthy to be in that place because of what I did in my past. But he says, you know what? I can't change that. I can't change what I did yesterday. I can't change what I did to the saints. It's a memory that I'll always have. It'll something that's always will haunt me to some degree. But I, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm a composite of those things that I did back there. I'm not going to try to deny that I did them. I'm not going to try to say or make a justification of what I did and how I did it and why I did it. I'm not going to make a justification of that. I'm what I am. I am a composite of those decisions that I made back there. My ignorance back there. And as I looked at this, the Lord dealt with me with this particular passage of Scripture basically saying, I'm what I am. I am what I am. You are what you are. The things that you did in your past, the things that were that happened yesterday, the regrets, the things that you wish you could change, you can't change them. We can't go back to yesterday, and I can't. You know, what do we say? We say, you know, I wish I'd given my heart to the Lord sooner. I wish some of those things that I did back there, I wish I hadn't done, but I can't change that, can I? It makes me who I am today. It makes me what I am today, and what I can look at, and what you, and what we can look at today is the fact that those things of the past, and those decisions that I made, and those decisions that I didn't make, and those things that happened to me, are what causes me to be what I am today. The little changes, the little adjustments that I've had to make, that we've had to make in our lives as a result of how we were raised, as a result of what happened to us in our past, in our childhood, in our young adulthood, the decisions that we made that we realize now, those decisions, I could have made better choices back then, and I wish I had made better choices, but I didn't. And so what I realize now, and what we must realize is what Paul realized, by the grace of God, things have changed. God's grace is sufficient. His favor on my life has so changed me that those things that those regrets of my past are not regrets. They are stepping stones. They are lessons. There are some things that I wish I could change, but I can't. And so therefore, those are stepping stones to what God wants to do with me now. By the grace of God, he says. This is just who I am, and you're just going to have to love it or leave it. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, by God's grace got a hold of me. His favor got a hold of me, and he changed those things and made them life lessons, and they have made me a stronger person. And now the zeal that I have and what promotes and forces me forward is the grace of God. And what God has done for me, and how God has taken those things that seem to harm me, and he's turned them and worked them to the point that I am who I am right now. And so in the same way, you and I must realize that God knew everything that would happen to us. Everything. And he knew how he wanted to utilize them to make us a stronger person. There is never anything that happens to us that God doesn't turn and work for our good. The scripture that we often say, and all of us can quote it, no doubt, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. All of these things that have happened, the good things, it didn't just say the good things. It didn't just say the things that are, they can go either way, but they're not really that bad. But the things that we would call tragedies, the things that we would say are terrible, all of those culminate to work for our good. That God is going to make us a stronger person as a result of the things that we have gone through that have made us what we are. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, I want to talk to us a little bit because there are things about all of us, there are things about ourselves that we don't like. All right? Let's talk first of all about our physical being. And there are things that we wish we were thinner, or we wish we were had a little more weight on us, or we wish that our nose wasn't so big, or that there was our hair was longer, or we weren't bald, or whatever it may be. There is something that we are dissatisfied with, generally speaking. And so we have folks that are making millions and billions of dollars based on our dissatisfaction of who we are. All right? So we have the Weight Watcher program. We have Jenny Craig. And we have the people that do the supplements that you can have the stronger muscles if you just drink this supplement and you work out. And you have all these workout videos. Why? Not because we're unhealthy, just because we're unhealthy. If we're unhealthy, we can walk around the block 10 or 12 times, and that'll do a whole lot of good, won't it? We can go up and down stairs. We can do these things, but we pay people with these gym memberships. We pay them not because we can become more healthy. That is a side effect, but because we can be more satisfied with who we are. Because there is something that is unsatisfactory about me. That I don't like this thing about me, who I am and what I am and how I look. And so I'm going to pay somebody hundreds of dollars to change who I am. We have folks that are cosmetic, and we have cosmetic surgery that folks don't like something about them. And so they get, you're getting old. And what happens when you get old? You get wrinkled. Your hair gets gray. But we don't like that, do we? As a general rule. And so what we do, we get faceless and to the point that folks can't even smile. Because they think that they look better and they don't grow old gracefully.
And we have to look in the mirror and we have to say things like, this is who I am. I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And Lord, help me to be satisfied with how you made me. Rather than me going through all these changes about who I am, I want you, Lord, to help me to understand by the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't have the figure that somebody else has. I don't have the muscles. I'm not 6'2" or whatever you is that you want to be. We wish we were taller, and some that are taller wish they were shorter. And one of the things that I've learned is, and we're going to get to the point that I feel like the Lord wants to do, but we want to lay the foundation here. One of the things that happened to us is that we're watching the media, aren't we? And not everybody looks like Angelina Jolie or these movie stars. And we don't look like that, do we? And when we realize and we understand that they've had a little bit of help, that their hair ain't that long either. It's not, they're not sitting on it, but it looks so beautiful. And what do? We go out there and go to where the Chinese folks sell the hair, and we go and get us long weaves. Lord, help us. And because there are things that we're being told, and it's making us dissatisfied with who we are. But I want to say this. In the Lord, you are what you are. The Lord made you. He's the one that made you like you are. He's the one that gave you this body type, this hair type. And if God thinks it's beautiful, who am I to say something different about it? Who am I to say that the standard that they have put in, that what beauty is, who am I to say that I should be dissatisfied because I don't look like Denzel Washington or whoever it may be? I'm who I am. Lord, help us to be satisfied with how you made us. Help me to be satisfied with my identity. Help me to be satisfied with my spiritual identity. And when I take my eyes off of the physical and off of the natural, and I put my eyes on the spiritual, there's an image that I can look just like that, and I can do everything that I possibly can to look like that. But we spend all the money to try to look like something in this world that's going to fade away. No matter how well you present this body, if you live, you're going to get old. And the things that you're trying to hold up are going to fall down. And the things that you're trying to keep a certain color, they're going to change. And the beauty that you have is going to fade away. You're not going to be as beautiful one day in your life as you are right now. Get used to that fact. You're not going to stay young forever. And you're going to get old a lot faster than you thought you were. I look back on myself sometime and I think, boy, this happened quick, didn't it? You know, it used to be the folks in their 50s were old. I was thinking when I was in high school, my dad was my age, and I was in high school. That was a long time ago. Lord, help us. All right. So, we have these industries and advertising, and you know one of the things that there have been some studies done, I don't know if you would say studies, but research, that basically says, or some probably more accurate would be that some of the reporters have exposed that the model industry, that these models, they don't really look like this. They can literally take a person that's on the cover of a magazine and make them look completely different than they really are. They can make them smaller. They can Photoshop. There's this Photoshop. And so we're looking at these things that have been Photoshopped, and we become dissatisfied with who we are. And, you know, one of the things that I see in particularly is more prevalent among young ladies than it is young men. But the men are vain as well. Yeah. And there are certain things that they want to do and want to be. And the Lord, and what I want to say, what I believe the Lord want us to get over, if you don't get over anything else that we say today, I believe what the Lord wants us to understand is that you are who you are by the grace of God. God created you to be a certain way, and we're to be satisfied. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't things that we should not do to improve our health. And there are not things that there are, you know, you can't lose weight or you can't do this. I'm not saying that. Of course you can. And some of us should. Let's just be honest with ourselves. And when I say us, I really mean us. I'm not talking about you all in that regard. I'm talking about me as well. But one of the things that we want to understand that, why do we do it? So that we can look better? So that we can be more handsome and more attractive to who? Or do we do it for our health? And what I'm learning is that if we're not careful, what we tend to do it for is for the wrong reasons. And so the Lord wants us to adjust that and make that change. That one of the things that he says, we can go to that scripture in chapter of Genesis, the 26th verse. Let's read that. Yeah, but you can read it for us. Genesis 1. It says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And the thing that I want us to get a hold of is God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That's what I want us to get a hold of. God said, let us make man after our image, in our image, after our likeness. So God is concerned about how you look. But he did not say that he's concerned that you would look like somebody else. That you were more concerned that you looked like the perfect person that the world is presenting and that he's putting on that's being put on the advertisements and whatnot, that I look as close to that individual as I possibly can. We don't even realize the subliminal effects that it has on us. We don't realize how the enemy talks to our mind and how he adjusts, works with our mind and how these things affect us. And so rather than us wanting to look like God and wanting to look godly and wanting to look like a saint of God, we want to look like the world. We get our self-worth and our self-image from things that are of the world rather than things that are of God. Lord, help us. Because here this scripture is saying to us, let us make man in our image. So in other words, we have a right to make whatever adjustments that we want to make on the inward man. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. So there is a responsibility that I have to renew this new inner man. Lord, I want to look like you. And whatever, I don't care so much what I look like on the outside. And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be concerned about how we look. You know I'm not saying that. You know that I'm saying that there is a care that we have of what we don't just go out looking like we are homeless. But we're to look attractive. But we can go overboard with it. And what we should go overboard, if we're going to go overboard with anything, we should go overboard with the fact that I want to look this inner man, this man that is on the inside of me that folks will see. They will see it if they're in contact with you. Let me tell you, your family sees your inner man. The folks on your job, they see the inner man. They see how attractive or how unattractive it is. And so that is the image that we need to hold on, hone into, and this is the image that we need to say, Lord, I am what I am. On the outside, I am what I am, but on the inside, Lord, I want to be just like you. I want the image. I can change. I can get all kinds of, I can go on diets. We call them fasts in the spiritual realm. I can fast and I can pray. I can do whatever it is. I can make the adjustment as I look in the mirror of God's Word. And as I see that there are some areas in my life that are not shored up and that need to be held in or need to be eradicated altogether, then I can say, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to be just like you. I want to look like you. Rather, I went over to at a house one time that I was doing some work on, not just recently, and not too terribly long ago, maybe a couple of months or so ago, and I was doing some things with these girls, and these girls were talking about something that one was letting the other put. Girl, what you going to do? What you going to put in? Well, I want what, like Nicki Minaj. They're talking about Nicki Minaj.
some kind of hairdo that she had, and they were going to do the same thing. And, you know, I know what size Nicki Minaj is, and those girls were probably twice her size, and that's not going, they ain't going to look like Nicki when they get through with it. They're not. It just ain't going to happen. And so, but in their minds, if Nicki can do it, and see these folks that are doing this, they are affecting people. They're having an effect on people. And so they thought that because Nicki got it like this, then if I get mine kind of over LeBlanc, I don't even know what she looks like. I don't even keep up with. If I see her, I click on something else. But here's my point. If we're not careful, we as saints of God, we'll try to find the sanctified version that's out in the world. And we'll make whatever adjustments to who we are, and our self-worth is coming from who the world lifts up. Why not see the beauty of holiness in the dear saints of God? Yes, you can dress nice, but you need to make certain, Lord, by the grace of God, help me to understand that my identity is not out in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Take my love for him away, Lord. Help me to be satisfied with who you made me. When the world presents something to us over and over and over and over again, then it affects us in some kind of a way, doesn't it? But we need to understand, Lord, by your grace, I want to be just like you. I want to change this image of this man on the inside that when there is a reflection, let me tell you how the reflections happen. When somebody says something against you that you don't like, or something that would normally hurt your feelings, you retaliate. So there is a reflection. You're looking in the mirror there, and what's happening to you and what people are doing is affecting you in a negative way, and then you spew out. You have something to say. You put them in their place. You do whatever it is that you feel like needs to be done so that they'll know where you're coming from. I bet they won't do that again. Or, you better be glad I'm saved. Have you ever told somebody that? You better be glad I'm saved. Yeah, when you say that, but are you sanctified? Because it sounds like, I'm glad you're saved because you didn't go on, but I wonder, are you sanctified? Because what happens is the Lord is able to give whatever that is that you wanted to do, just to take it away through His Spirit, all right? Psalms 100, verse 3. You can just start at 1 and read 1 through 3 if you'd like. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, have you ever said to the Lord, have you ever looked in the mirror and said to the Lord, I don't like what you made. I don't like how I look. But do you know that you're beautiful in the eyes of the Lord? It is He that made us. So what does that mean? Does that mean I really don't have any choice on how tall I am? Which one of us, taking thought, could add a cubit to our stature? I don't have anything to do with, say, what color my skin is or how my hair looks. I didn't have anything to do with that, did I? Or did you? And it's not for me to stand in the mirror and be dissatisfied with what God created. And what makes us dissatisfied with what God created, it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. What makes us dissatisfied with what God has created, is it something that the world is telling us? Is something that out there that I'm gaining my self-worth and who I am and my identity, I'm gaining my identity from what the world is saying I should look like or what the world is saying that I should be? Can I look in the mirror and say, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am.
Lord, you, it is you that made me, not me, myself. I would have made me, perhaps all of us would have made some drastic changes about ourselves. Few people probably look in the mirror and say, oh, you know what, I'm happy with everything, but with everything that's there. But what I want to say is that there is too much focus on what's on the outside. Too much of it. We're too concerned about how we look and how people respond to us as a result of how we look. We're too concerned about it. We're too focused about it. What we need to say, Lord, what do you see? I need to make certain that that my hair is combed and that I look decent, but I am what I am. You're the one that made me. And I'm satisfied with what you made me. And Lord, when I'm not satisfied, then that is a call to prayer that I can pray and say, Lord, help me to understand that you had a purpose in making me like I am, 5'9½" or whatever it is. Or 6'2" or 4 feet or whatever it is. Lord, you had a purpose in that. Help me to concentrate and focus on that so that I can see, dear Lord, that I can concentrate on your focus rather than on myself, on what you want rather than on what I want. Lord, help us. All right, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. What? Yes. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye, did you get a hold of that? You're not your own. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So he says that I don't even belong to myself. Once I've given myself to the Lord, once I have asked the Lord to come into my heart, I've repented of my sins. And in essence, what I'm doing when a person bows down at an altar of prayer, wherever that altar may be, and they ask the Lord, Lord, would you forgive me? And I'm sorry for the sins that I committed. If you haven't done that, today is a good time to do that. All right? And when you've done that, what you do is you expel sin out of your life. And it doesn't have dominion over you. And it doesn't have control over you anymore. And what happens is that you ask the Lord to come in and rule and reign in your life, right? And so now this life, this body literally belong is the vessel of the Holy Ghost. So it says, know ye not that ye are that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. So what I do is, in essence, I sign a contract, and I sign the contract that the Lord said, and he said, in essence, I'll give you all that this Bible holds if you'll serve me. And I write down, in essence, and I say, Lord, I'm willing to do that. And we make a covenant. I make a covenant, you make a covenant with the Lord, and that covenant says that I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I don't belong to me anymore. Therefore, God can tell me to do. He can tell me what to do. He can tell me where to go. He can tell me what to wear. He can tell me what not to wear. He can tell me the every aspect of my life. He has every right to do that because I'm not my own anymore. I'm bought. You know, when you buy something, you know, you bought your car out there. If you want to just go and run it into a brick wall, you have that right, don't you? Or if you want to dress it up in a certain way or paint it a different color, and there's no one that has any rights to it, you can do whatever you want to with it, can't you? Or your house. If you have a home and you want to knock out a wall and make it bigger, a room bigger, you have that right. But if you're renting, you can't do that, can you? I've had some renters sometime, and they say, you know what, can we knock out a wall? No, you can't knock out a wall. We want to open up the kitchen to the dining room. And can we knock out this wall? No, you can't do that. When you buy the house, you can knock that wall out. But until then, you don't have that right, do you? In the same way, the Lord has a right to make whatever adjustments that he wants to make in our lives when he owns us. Lord, help us to see that. All right. Now, Paul said at our text scripture, he said, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now,
as we brought out at the beginning of this discourse, Paul was disappointed in his past. He had some regrets. He had persecuted the church, and his history affected how he viewed himself. Do you realize our history affects how we view ourselves? One of the things that we've been taught over and over is folks that have low self-esteem, right? And do you know oftentimes a person that has low self-esteem is a person that is comparing themselves to somebody else. And you can say, "Brother, this is a simplistic version of it." And Brother Darrell, there are a lot of things, and there's a complex situation that we can deal with the complexities of why people feel the way that they feel. But I want to say that if you have low self-esteem, there is one thing that you can do. You can stop looking and getting your cue from the folks that are out there. You can stop doing that. You can start getting your cue from, "Lord, I'm worth something to you. And my self-worth is not contingent upon what they think about me. It's not contingent upon what the world in general and how they view me, Lord. When there is a confidence that I have in you, in the Lord, when there's this confidence that I have in the Lord, then it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks about me." And so what we should be focused on, saints of God, is, "Lord, how do you see me, Lord?" Because let me tell you, have you ever seen people that are maybe the goths or the gothic people or whatever you call them, and you can see people that just look silly. Or whatever they're dressed like. And you can see some of them who, they're not even, they just got too much of this on and not enough of that on, and too much, they done none. You see this kind of a thing, and in their minds, I want to say, you don't really understand what you look like. Have you ever seen somebody like that? All of us have, haven't we? But that person is receiving their idea of who they are from somebody, from what is around them, and they're comfortable and satisfied with it, when you would be embarrassed to walk out like that, right? There would be no way that you would do that. And so, consequently, what I want to say to you and me is our self-worth is not contingent upon what the world thinks about us as saints of God. It's what God thinks about us. And when we're confident, "Lord, that I'm doing what it is that you're wanting me to do," then you'll find out that all that I'm doing is balanced. Alright? So. Alright, y'all with me? Alright. Thank the Lord. Now I want to talk for a moment about spiritual identity. Let's go to Acts, the 26th chapter, and I want to start reading at the first verse. Acts 26 and 1. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading here because I want us to get the whole background here. We've talked, going back to what we talked about with Paul. If you have it, read it for us. "Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." So he completely misunderstood. He didn't understand who Jesus was. He did it ignorantly. And this is some of Paul's history that he's rehearsing to King Agrippa, and he's telling the story, the gospel story,
via his experience. And do you know that this is really what God wants all of us to do? We tell the gospel story not just out of the Bible, but what happened to us in our experiences. We can say, I don't know about all these other things, but I know what Jesus did for me. I know how he changed my life. And that is the gospel story. And we can tell our own scenario of going on the road to Damascus, thinking one thing, and the Lord bringing us to an understanding of what truth really is. And this is what happened to Paul. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commissioned from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me, and we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now it brings out this point that Paul is going, and the more zealous he becomes to destroy the saints of God, the more there is a prick in his heart that he knows that what they're doing and what they're going through and what they're standing for is right. And let me tell you something else. Do you know that there will be people among us and people that we come in contact with that the more they talk about our stand and the more that they talk about what we're doing, how they don't like it, the more they persecute us, they're being pricked. And you have to cover that up in some kind of a way. So some folks become more zealous and zealous against the people of God because they know that what is being taught is right. And Paul, in the back of his mind, maybe it hasn't come completely conscious to them yet, but at the back of Paul's mind, Paul knew that there was something about these people. There's something, that there's a witness that I have, that something I'm doing is not right. Because he says here, it's hard for thee to get kicked against the pricks. And Paul did not say that I wasn't kicking against something. Paul understood that he was. All right? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I have appeared unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So the Lord had a purpose. The Lord knew who Paul was. He knew what Paul was going to do. He knew the history. He knew how Paul was going to persecute the saints. He knew how he would feel after he did that. He said, Now I'm calling you, Paul. I'm calling you with all of the things that are in your past and all those things that you will come to regret. Those are going to be something that makes you stronger to go forward, because now it's going to be the impetus, the thing that pushes you and propels you forward, because, Lord, I've got to make up for all the ones that I caused to blaspheme, the ones that I call that I persecuted, the ones that I threw in jail. Lord, I'm willing to suffer these things because I know how they felt now, and I feel in some ways that I'm responsible and I'm reaping to some degree what I sowed. And so now these are the things that propel and make us what we are. When I look at my life, when I look at the things in my past, and when I've allowed those things to work for my good, I'm a much stronger person because of the failures that I've had in the past than I would have been had I not had them. You know how the song that we sing, Press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. There can be failings in our past. Paul had them, didn't he? There are things that he just completely failed at. And as a result, that's what propelled him and pushed him forward. That's what said, I don't want to go back there. That's what causes us to say, I don't want to go back there. Lord, help us. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now this is what I want to say. The Lord shows us truth. And our spiritual well-being
The Lord gives us clarity and understanding as to what He requires of us. Paul, the truth of God's Word was revealed to Paul. You and I need the truth of God's Word revealed to us. There are a lot of false doctrines out there. There are a lot of folks that can present the Word of God in a wonderful way. Paul was part of a religious group, and he was very zealous about that religious group. But when Paul had a revelation of the truth of God's Word and who God really was, it didn't matter that there were a lot of Pharisees and he was of the strictest sect and he did everything just like they taught him. He came in contact with the true God. And that's what you and I, that's what's going to change our life. That's what's going to change who we are. We don't have one foot in and one foot out because we understand, Lord, that this is who I am because this is who you are. Because I can see who you are. And so sometimes we come into contact, and I've been in places where folks have said things like, well, you know, I don't believe the way I used to believe. I've had that so many times, unfortunately. But do you know the conclusion that I've come to? That when you have a revelation of what's right, you can't go back on that. You might be getting your cue from a whole lot of other people. You might be getting your understanding from a lot of folks, but there is a lot of false doctrine out there, folks. And you may not see that when we come here, the church isn't as full as it used to be. But one of the things that you can get is the truth of God's Word that's unadulterated, that's not mixed with error. That's what you can get. You can get a group of folks that are endeavoring by the grace of God to live a holy and a righteous life. That's what you can get. Amen. And what you can do is you can take your cue from those that have had the experiences of the past, that they've had failings. There have been folks out there that have done some things, and all of us here have done some things in our past, and we know what God has saved us from. And it's made us what we are today. There are some that have been in false religion. There are some that have been in all kinds of debauchery, all kinds of deep sin, and the Lord has saved them and set them their feet upon a rock, and there are some that could have been in various places, but were not, but for the grace of God. We are what I am, what I am. You are what you are. All right. So our spiritual identity doesn't come from the religious world. Well, the religious world will say, most people, if you go and ask almost any, 99% of the folks in the religious world do not believe that you can live a holy life. I would venture to say 99% of the people that are going to church today, a good portion, that's not a scientific, don't believe that you can live a holy life. You know, it's something for us to know what holiness really is. All right. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter, 16th verse, and someone get us 1 John 3, verse 19. Romans 8 and 16. Read it for us, please. Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. So when I need a witness born of who I am, I don't seek it from people out there. I don't try to blend in or become like unto them. I want to blend in with the Spirit of God. His Spirit, what it says? The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's all you need, isn't it? That the Spirit of God is bearing witness with my spirit that I'm one of His. 1 John 3:19. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, not in the world's sight. We have confidence because we are doing the things that we know that we're supposed to do. And what I feel like the Lord wants us to get a hold of is the fact that we're to take our confidence out of the world. And we're to put our confidence in God. We're to put our confidence in, Lord, this is what you would have me to do, and I'm willing to do it. First chapter of Romans, 16th verse. We'll be through. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, it says I'm not ashamed. And what causes us shame is, you know, there is this part of us that wants to be like everybody else. It's true. We're social beings. God made us that way. That there is a certain part of us that has a desire to not stick out like a sore thumb, right? And to not be different, to not just in, we tend to use that, utilize that in the way that we dress, but no, in the way that we think, in the way that we process things. And that's what I'm talking about here today. There is this thought that there is this strong press in our minds to think like the world thinks. One of the requests that we often put in is pray against the spirit of homosexuality. And one of the things that I've noted if I go to the computer and you go on Yahoo or MSN or one of the main search engines, have you noticed that almost every week they have something about transgender and something about gays and all this? That used to not be, did it? And if they have somebody that is in a high-profile position, have you noticed how they push those up? And they give them, you know what this is all for? It is to change the way that we think about it. And so now we have people that are, that once stood against it, that are now promoting it. And we have churches that once stood against it, that are now pastors, I'm putting that in quotation, of churches that are now promoting it. And folks that are saying that it's okay. And not only that, but they're just saying sin in general is all right. They're saying immodesty in general is okay. They're saying that a lot of things that we have traditionally, that the Word of God stands strongly against, these things are okay. And what it does for us, if we're not careful, we'll look at what the world is doing and we'll see that we're still going by this Bible and we're not reinterpreting it. And it seems like the whole world is getting further and further away, which means that we're just kind of left here standing out. That no, I believe the way you used to believe 20 years ago. I'm talking about to the general world, to the evangelicals, to the Protestants. I still believe the same. I still believe the Bible. You remember how you went and you had the words of God and this is why you stood against it? I still believe that. And so now as the drift is going further and further away, we see that we're left here standing on the clear Word of God, and it doesn't make us feel good, does it? But if we get our cue from those that are out there, then it'll have some impact on what our stand is. And our stand won't be as vocal. It won't be as... Our light won't shine as much. We'll kind of... The bushel will kind of come down on top of the light, and we won't snuff the light out, but we won't let it set on a stand either. Let me tell you what happens with a candle. If there's a dark room, that candle is going to stand out. So there is something that the Lord wants from His people. He wants us to stand out. He said a city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. Why? Because the lights are on. And it's in a conspicuous place. And we have to understand that yes, we are in conspicuous places. And Lord, I'm not ashamed of that. And Lord, I'm not getting my cues from what the world is saying a Christian ought to be. I'm getting my cues from what the Lord said. My witness, my spirit is bearing witness. The Lord's spirit is bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God. And Lord, I don't want ever to do anything that will snuff that out. Have mercy on us, Lord. So, when it comes to this, and when it comes to us trying to understand, or when the enemy presents false religion to us and we feel like we are stuck out there all by ourselves, like a sore thumb, like a candle in a dark place. I am what I am. This is who I am. And I think sometimes we need to face it and come to that conclusion. This is who I am. This is me. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm one of the true ones. I'm not one of the ones that drink on Saturday night and go out and smoke and do all this kind of stuff and come and sing in the choir. I'm not one of those. I just happen to be a real one that a whole lot of folks don't see anymore. I happen to be willing to stand for my convictions if the whole world goes in an opposite direction. That's who I am. I happen to be the one that believes that the Bible is the Word of God, and I make no excuse for that. I happen to be one of those Christians that if it comes to me going someplace and being thought well of, or standing here, standing my ground, and this is not a place that God wants me to be in, and standing my ground, I just meekly hold the true position. That's just who I am. That's who I am. I am what I am. I'm not going to try to be something different. I'm not going to try to be your friend. If you don't want me to be your friend, I'm not going to try to be your friend. I am what I am. I'm not going to try to do something different so that the world will not have an adverse view of Christianity. I am just what I am. That's who I am. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to stand firm. Help me to stand true to you in the midst of it all. There is all kinds of things that are coming against us. All kinds of things from without and from within. We have fightings. There are folks that are going to fight us, and folks are going to say, well, you don't have to do all that. You can still be a Christian. Well, what kind of Christian? This is the kind of Christian that I believe the Lord has chosen me to live this kind of a life, and I am what I am. That's just who I am. And I'm not going to apologize, and I'm not going to make the adjustment to look like you and to have the freedom that you have when I have freedom in my soul already from what God has given me. So, Lord, what I want to do, more than looking more like the world, I want to look more like you. More than thinking more like the world, I want to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to think like you, Lord. You made me in your image. The world has destroyed the image of God in the minds of people. The Lord didn't make, in some ways, the things about my character, the things about the defaults and faults and all those kinds of things that we have. That is a result of sin. And so what the devil is, and I'm trying to get through here. I know I've been up here a long time, and I appreciate your patience. What the devil is trying to lift up in our mind is that the world is better than the Bible. That the ways of the world, the way that we do that, and what's happening, he's literally changing some folks' mind. Because what happens with folks when they leave the truth of God's Word, they don't get more spiritual. When they go and they decide that, listen, we can have more liberty and more freedom, it's not that when I look at them now, they look more like Jesus than they did before. Their spirit is right. Everything is right. That's not what we deal with, is it? What we see is when you see the world and when you see them, it's the same thing. Lord, have mercy. When they speak, when they think like the world. But saints, you are what you are. I'm just who I am. And Lord, help me to be satisfied with that. Pray for me.